Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 is where we will be. We finished 1 Timothy chapter 1 back a few Sunday nights ago, all right? But we're back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, as we continue Paul's letters to Timothy and also all of Paul's letters as we make our way through them. It's interesting when you look at Paul's letters, especially the ones to Timothy, and you take them and remove the chapter designations from them, remove all the verse designations, and just look at the letter as a whole. One of the things that Paul does in the first part of the letter, of which has been designated with us and for us, with a designation of chapter number 1, we find that Paul spent a majority of his time with doctrine, as he spoke to Timothy, exhorting Timothy to counter all the false teaching that was taking place and to remain loyal and faithful to God and the message of the gospel, not to waver from it, not to move away from the line of importance when it came to the gospel. And so Paul spent a great deal of time with Timothy in this first part of the letter, encouraging Timothy and exhorting Timothy to do the same. As you come to chapter number 2, or the next portion of the letter, Paul moves to the conduct of public worship. In other words, the way worship should take place inside of the church. We're not going to get to verse 8 and below tonight, all right? We will only get through the first 7 verses. I will tell you right now, verse 7 through verse 15, or verse 8 through verse 15, are some interesting verses. And we will make our way through each one of them. When you preach through a book or you preach through Paul's letter, you just can't pick and choose what you want to speak about. You must cover the whole part of the letter. And I know some of y'all are probably all reading down in verse 8 through verse 15 to see what Paul had to say in his letter. Just hold on. We will get there. And I will make sure that I have a doorway cut in the side of the building, so when I get to that portion, I can exit the building quickly. No, we will cover all of it based on the Word of God and what all that it says. Now, I want you to notice verse number 1 of chapter number 2. Paul says, I exhort therefore, or I urge therefore. That word exhort comes from the Greek word parakaleo, and here's what it means. It means actually to urge, the exhortation or to urge. Paul told Timothy, he said, I exhort you, or I urge you, Timothy, that first of all, that phrase first of all is an interesting phrase, because here's what that phrase is speaking about. It refers not to primacy of time, but primacy of importance. And he wanted young Timothy to understand this. He wanted young Timothy to know this. He said, I exhort or I urge therefore that first of all, first place, before anything else, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I want you to notice the use of first of all. He lists several of the avenues of prayer. And then as he closes, or he comes to the end of that thought, he says, be made for all men. And let me make a statement to you tonight. Worship takes precedence over evangelism. Worship takes place or takes precedence over evangelism. And I know some of y'all are looking up here at me like, we know you're going to explain what you just meant by the statement that you just made. And I'm going to. Partly because love for God is the first commandment, and love for our neighbor is the second. So I want you to take your Bibles just so I can show you. Jesus himself spoke to this. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 22. And I want you to notice what Jesus himself said concerning this. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to start in verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll start in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were talking about the resurrection, of which the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So Jesus quieted them about that subject. They were all gathered together. Then verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question. And of course, it was asked in a tempting way to Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Or the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first. Then verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And then verse 39, and the second's like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So let's go back to the letter. 2 Timothy. Worship takes precedence over evangelism. Do we only worship on Sundays? Can you worship on Monday? You should, yeah. Amen, you should. Can you worship while you're driving your car? If you live in Baton Rouge, you should. Or Prairieville. Or Gonzales, wherever, okay? But can we worship? Can we worship outside of this building? We can. Matter of fact, our heart should be in a state of worship, okay, constantly. Paul stresses in this part of the letter, and this is interesting as you get into this particular chapter, Paul stresses that God's plan and therefore our responsibility should reach out to everyone. Everybody. Doesn't matter who they are. And what's interesting, and this is what we have to be careful of, we're real quick to travel to the other side of the world to take the gospel, and very hesitant to walk across the street to our own neighbor to share the gospel. But here's what Paul tells Timothy. He said, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks should be made for all men. And so God's plan, and therefore our responsibility, is not just to a select few, but it's to everyone. It comes, and we're given opportunity to share with, and to be a part, and to have a part in their lives. Now, four times in this opening portion of chapter 2, the same truth is emphasized. I want you to notice in verse 1, first prayers are to be offered for everyone. You ought to underline that phrase, for all men or for everyone. In verse 3 through verse 4, we also find this. Secondly, God our Savior wants all men to be saved. Everyone. Do we know that outside of just Paul's letter? We do. Matter of fact, if you'll hold your place here in Paul's letter and turn with me to Peter's in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. I made reference to this morning in the message, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. And I want you to notice as Peter's writing, And notice what Peter also said. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Now notice the same phrase, but that all should come to what? To repentance. That all should. So let's go back to Paul's letter. So, God our Savior wants all men to be saved. Number three, in this same few verses down to verse number 7, Jesus Christ gave himself as a ransom for just a few. No, he did it for all men. And notice in verse number 6, who gave himself a ransom for what? For all. And then fourthly, in verse number 7, Paul was a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles, that is, to all the nations or to everyone. He started out to the Jew and then he went to the Gentiles. But we also find during Paul's missionary journeys that oftentimes the first place that he went to was where? To the synagogue. To the Jews. He took the gospel to the Gentiles. So Paul, even though he is well known as the missionary and the apostle to the Gentiles, he also saw himself as an apostle also to the Jews, to his fellow kinsmen in the nation of Israel. So as we look at verse number 1, what really does, in Paul speaking to Timothy in this letter, this very personal letter to Timothy, what does he give as probably the foremost important part of the ministry of Timothy's life? It's prayer. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Prayer should be a priority of our worship, both individually and corporately. Not just when we gather together in here. You know, I've often been asked about this. Preacher, you mean to tell me that you pray for everything? For everything. And some thought I was joking when I said I pray for a parking place when I go to the hospital. And here's one of the things I want you to understand. Is my relationship with God, He's my Heavenly Father. He's concerned about every detail of my life, from small to large. Does it make any difference? So why can't we have that conversation with God the Father just as if we were talking with Him here? Romans chapter 8 says, because we're no longer the children of bondage, but we've been adopted into the family of God, that allows us now to refer to Him as Abba Father. And let me tell you what that talks about. It talks about that personal relationship that we have between us and Him as a result of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so prayer in our life should be something that's important. Prayer should be something that's a part of our life every single day. Matter of fact, if you look back at 1 Thessalonians, just flip back there to chapter 5. I want you to look at two verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, I want you to notice how he ends that first letter in verse 17 and verse 18. And notice what he says in verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. What does that mean? Does that mean just in the good times? No. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to give thanks in the bad times? As Job cried out, the same Lord that giveth is the same Lord that taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something, that's tough. When we pray, verse 1 of chapter 2 has four aspects of prayer that Paul shares with Timothy here that I want you to see tonight. Notice the words, supplications, prayers. Well, I thought that was prayers. Intercessions, and giving of thanks. So let's take each one of those and look at them for just a moment. I often get asked, well, what's the difference between supplications and prayers, and what's the difference between intercessions and giving of thanks and petitions and all of those? Well, let me just share this with you tonight. If you've got a piece of paper, you may want to jot these down. Let me give you supplications. What did Paul mean when he told Timothy? He said that, first of all, supplications. What does he mean by supplications? It carries the idea of offering a request for a felt need. It's the offering of request for a felt need in our heart. That's a supplication. Calling out to God when we have this feeling of need in our life, to cry out to God in our prayer and voice that need. To voice that need to God. And for God to answer that. But what about his second word that we find there in verse number one? Prayers. Here's one of the things you need to understand about that particular word. Prayers is a common term and emphasizes the sacredness of prayer. And I'm going to tell you, prayer is sacred. See, it's a time, and I think sometimes we lose sight of this. And I want you to understand the significance of prayer time, okay? For the children of Israel back in the days of the Old Testament, they could not enter into the throne room of God to pray. They didn't have that privilege to do so. Matter of fact, there was only one who could intercede on their behalf. And it was one time a year, and it was when the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies to intercede on behalf of the people and to offer up a sacrifice, also known as the Day of Atonement, when a sacrifice would be made for their sin. They could not go into the throne room. They could not go into the presence of God. And matter of fact, when the high priest went into the presence of God, he better make sure when he goes in there that everything has been taken care of between him and God first before he goes into there. Because if he didn't, God would kill him. I think sometimes we lose sight of the privilege that we have to enter into the very throne room of God. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I tonight have the privilege to go with confidence into the very throne room of God to offer up our supplications and our prayers and our intercessions and our giving of thanks to a holy God, not because of who we are, but all because of Jesus Christ. The veil was rent from top to bottom. It was opened up so that you and I would have free access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year that we can go directly to the throne of God. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy here that first of all of these should be a part of your life. We're praying to God. Do you understand tonight who God is? Do you understand that we're entering into his very presence, into the very throne room of God, through the interceding power of the Holy Spirit of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to the doorposts of our heart? We're entering directly into the throne room of God before a holy God as an act of worship, not just an expression of want and need. That's what it is. That's how serious prayer is. That's how important prayer is. So when we enter into his presence, one of the first things that we need to do is to make sure that we are clean in his presence. So guess what that means? We need to have some one-on-one time, us individually repenting of our sin and asking for forgiveness before we go from there on. Amen? Quiet. Intercessions. Intercessions or petitions. The basic meaning of that term intercessions is to draw near to a person and converse confidently with them. It means to draw near to a person and converse confidently with them. Intercessions. It suggests that we enjoy fellowship with God so that we have confidence in him as we pray How many of y'all have ever heard of intercessory prayer? I hope you do it on a regular basis as we intercede on behalf of one another in this place. As we intercede on behalf of those that are part of our lives to pray and to intercede on their behalf. And I am thankful tonight that I have one who intercedes on my behalf. Our high priest seated at the right hand of the Father intercedes on our behalf when we pray. Let me tell you why? Because he has the ear of the Father. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name. Not in ours, in his. And here's the other great thing about it. The Holy Spirit, when we're praying and in that time of worship, and we're offering up our supplications and our petitions and our intercessions and our giving of thanks. Are you ready for this? The Holy Spirit of God offers up groanings on our behalf that we don't even know about. I don't know about you, but that sure gives prayer a different look, doesn't it? When we think about prayer. And then, of course, there's the giving of thanks. And notice in verse number 1, as Paul is telling Timothy, in the giving of thanks is definitely a part of worship and prayer. Thanksgiving should be an important ingredient in all of our prayers. In fact, sometimes we need to imitate David and present to God only thanksgiving and no petitions at all. And you've heard me say that before. When is the last time that you've got on your knees and you just prayed and never asked God for anything? You just prayed and out of a heart of worship, just thank him for all that he's done for you. How about this? When's the last time we prayed and we thank God for allowing us to go through a fire in our life to get us to the point on the other side that we needed to be, because any other way it wouldn't have happened other than the guiding hand of God, and it may have been painful to go through it. You notice he didn't leave anything out. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. So what was it that David did? What is the example of one of David's prayers? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Psalm 103. And then, oh, by the way, there's Daniel. We're going to go look at him too. Psalm 103. I want you to notice just the first 6 verses from David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How many of y'all know they wrote a song out of Psalm 103? How many of y'all knew that? Anybody? How many of y'all did not know that? Did you know it's one we sing? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Just to give thanks for who God is. Just to thank him for what he's blessed us with. You know, we keep going back to that. Listen, it is easy to thank God for the blessings. It is more difficult to thank him for the trials. Let It's the last time you got on your knees and you just started praying, thanking God for the trial that he's allowing you to go through. Let's go to Daniel chapter number 6, because here's an example of one of those, okay? Daniel chapter number 6. Of course, Daniel's facing death. So what does he do? It's a tough one. Chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6. Notice verse 10 and verse 11. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. He did what? He gave thanks. Then look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication. A felt need. I would imagine that Daniel at this point in time was asking God to intercede or to intervene on their behalf. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Here's a good verse. Matter of fact, I hear a lot of people say, this is the verse I use so I don't worry. How many of y'all worry? Y'all ain't going to raise your hand, are you? But that's okay. Every one of us in here worries at some point. Notice what Paul says to the church at Philippi. Chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing, or in other words, don't worry. No need to worry. Why is there no need to worry? But in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. That's three of them that Paul shared with Timothy in verse 1. Supplications, prayer, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How many of us pray specifically when we pray, or we pray this way? God bless all of these that you already know, and you know everything that's going on, and God, you just take care of all of it. I think sometimes what we fall prey to is knowing that God is all-knowing, knowing that he's all-powerful, and he already knows all the details and all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. When you pray, you ought to pray specifically for those things that we know specifically. There are some things we may not know specifically, but God does. But for those things that we know specifically, we ought to pray specifically. Well, God bless all of those that are in the hospital. Why don't we call them by name and be intentional about our prayer with them as we pray for each one of them? But we need to be careful also about prayer. I want you to notice, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want you to notice verse number 2. Because verse 2 and verse 1 are all part of the same phrase here. When he said, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For kings and all that are in authority. I'm just going to make a blanket statement here. We are wrong if we do not pray for our leaders that govern us. All of those who are in authority over us, we should pray for. Amen? you should. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's hard to do, isn't it? Especially when you dislike them. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to pray for somebody that you dislike? It's not. It's difficult. But should we? We should. We should pray and ask God for direction and God for wisdom and God to provide them with wisdom and direction and that they would seek Him in all that they do. I want to tell you something. I honestly believe a lot of the things that we experience in our churches and in our lives with the difficulties that we do, because oftentimes prayer is the last result, not the first step in our lives. And I will tell you something. The church cannot pray too much. Matter of fact, this has been a real conviction with me as I have been studying this chapter alone, these seven verses, for a little over 2 weeks now. And I'll just share something with you. It's brought conviction to my own heart and life because I don't think we pray enough here. And here's something else that I want to share with you about prayer tonight. Many believers do not realize that prayer, our praying, is based on the work of Jesus Christ as both our Savior and Mediator. Look at verse 3 through verse 5 and notice what Paul writes. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Now let me make a statement about verse number 5 in the phrase the man Christ Jesus. As the God-man, Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator between holy God and man. As God-man, as the God-man, He is the perfect mediator between a holy God and man. Why? He's God in the flesh who became man to minister to us. So what better mediator could there be than Jesus Christ, the God? So guess what He's done? As you look at verse number 5, you see that there is only one mediator between God and man. You know, one of Job's complaints, matter of fact, let's go there. Turn to Job chapter number 9. This is one of Job's complaints. Had to do with the absence of a mediator who could take his message to the throne of God. Let's go to Job chapter number 9. And I want you to notice this. Job chapter 9. And I want you to notice what it says. Neither is there any daysman. That word daysman, actually the Hebrew word there means umpire or mediator. That's what that word means. Neither is there any umpire or mediator between us that might lay his hand upon us both. As he talked about his relationship with the Lord. And that was one of Job's complaints, that the absence of a mediator between him and God who could take his message to the throne of God. Who takes our message to the throne of God? We go directly to the throne room of God. Jesus Christ is seated as our high priest with the ear of the Father. The Holy Spirit also, who lives within us, offers up groanings on our behalf as well. Since there is only one God, there is need for only one mediator. And That mediator, of course, is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul wanted Timothy to understand. No other person can qualify. There is no one else who can be that mediator. No one else is qualified to do so. Jesus Christ is both God and man, and therefore can be the mediator between God and man as a result of who he is. And in his life, his perfect life, and his substitutionary death, he met the just demands of God's holy law. He was the ransom for all. Look at verse 6. As he says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That word ransom there, the Greek word for ransom, is an interesting word because here's what it means. It means a price paid to free a slave. It's the price that is paid to free a slave. You see, you and I, when we are born again, we are set free from the yoke of bondage of sin. We are no longer a slave of sin. We have been set free by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we are no longer in bondage to sin. So, Paul tells Timothy, here's what I want you to understand. This mediator, when you pray and you offer up your supplications and your prayers and your intercessions and your giving of thanks, let it be made for all men. Why? Because God loves for them. He desires for every one of them to be saved. And on top of all of that, here's the reason why, is because he gave himself as a ransom, a price paid to free all the slaves of sin, to be testified in due time through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That ought to tell us how important prayer should be in each of our lives every day. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 that he came as a ransom for all. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That all should be saved. So if the basis of prayer is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross, then prayer is a most important activity in a church. Let me ask you a question. How do you determine the will of God for your life? Through reading and studying His Word, and through what? Prayer. How do we intercede on the behalf of others? Is through prayer. Our giving of thanks, even in those difficult times, is the hardest thing we'll ever do. But here's one of the things I think that we all need to understand and come to the point in our lives that everything that happens in our lives, God either allows it to be, or we bring it on ourselves, but our Heavenly Father is concerned and knows where we are. And His love and His concern. And are you ready for this? We can just get up close to the throne of God and just stay there a while. Sometimes it takes that. Let me ask you a question. Can we pray without ever uttering a word out of our mouth? Yes. Praying from the heart. As we offer those up to the throne of God. Not to pray is to slight the cross. To pray only for ourselves is to deny the worldwide outreach of the cross. To ignore the loss is to ignore the cross. All men is the key to the first seven verses of this portion of Paul's letter. And then I'll close with verse number 7. Paul said, Timothy, by the way, all of that I just spoke about, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Paul shared the gospel with all. We do the same, or should. But prayer, to me, neglected in our lives and in the life of the church, is to neglect the very cross of Jesus Christ himself. Amen? That's the second chapter, the first 7 verses. Hold on to your seat. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, you better bring a seatbelt. It's going to be recorded up top. So if you need confirmation of something I say, it'll be recorded, okay? Bring you a notebook with some plenty of paper in it, okay? And a sharp pen. As we deal with conduct in the church. Amen? Y'all smile, okay? It's not that bad, really. Here's one of the things I want you to understand. I didn't write it. All I'm going to do is deliver it. So don't shoot the messenger. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Amen. Independence of our great country. The liberties that we have. Liberty is not found in socialism. True liberty is not found in government. True liberty is found when men are free to worship their Creator. So as we think about the 4th of July and Independence Day, as many try to rewrite the history of July the 4th, remember this. I just believe this in all of my heart, in all the studying and the research that I have done, that God's hand was on this nation and God's hand was on our forefathers as they placed together not just the Declaration of Independence, stating that independence and stating all that came as a result of that, but then as the law was applied to that through the Constitution that we have in this great nation. Still the governing document. And God help us if that ever gets thrown out. And then we become a socialist nation where the government becomes our liberty and our freedom, because then we will be in bondage as a people. Amen. As we pray and as we're dismissed, enjoy the holidays. Be safe. Don't eat too many hot dogs and hamburgers, or barbecue, or jambalaya, or whatever you may have. But just think about and consider what we have in our liberties in this great nation. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Tommy Martin, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?